The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kate Murray and Chaka Hislop here in the studio, and we will kick off the action with the Europa League, with Manchester United looking to bounce back after that loss to Man City in the derby. Well, they came back from a goal down to beat Omonia Nicosia 3-2. That keeps them second in Group E. It was Ten Hag's second half changes working wonders for United, with Rashford and Martial scoring the goals. However, they did have the chance to put it out of sight, with Cristiano Ronaldo getting some chances but just not being able to find the target in this game. Let's now welcome in Stevie Nicol, Luis Garcia and Frank Leboeuf to talk more about this. Stevie, you weren't impressed with Cristiano Ronaldo tonight.
No, I thought the longer the game wore on, I actually felt sorry for him by the end of the game. And I think some of his teammates did, because every single time they went forward, they were trying to get him the ball. It was almost like, let's try and get Cristiano a goal. You know, his first chance with his left peg was a good save from the goalkeeper. But from there, I mean, you talk about somebody who looks just a step slow, just doesn't have that extra sting in his legs. Took a free kick from 25 yards, put it 25 yards over the bar. Had another shot inside the box with his left peg from about 18 yards. That went 18 yards over the bar as well. And then he had pretty much an open goal. Ball cut back to him about 8 yards out, and he hit the post. I mean, he's just struggling. I mean, even the last goal that Rashford scored was a shot from Ronaldo that was going wide. It was a scuff. And as I said, I actually felt sorry for him by the end of the game. And there's no way that he's going to be starting for Manchester United the next time they step on the field. I guarantee that.
Was he really that bad, Chaka?
Yeah, it was. And I believe Ronaldo's looking for his 700th career club goal. And it showed. It showed in how Manchester United, and Stevie's right, every time they went forward, they tried to get the ball to Cristiano Ronaldo to get that goal. And once that first chance didn't go in, and it's hard to say or believe that Ronaldo at any point is struggling for confidence. He never makes you feel that way. But you could just see that he seemed to get more and more tense as the game went on. Because despite the scoreline, Omonia should not have been in this picture at all. Manchester United were by far the better team. And had they played as they ordinarily would, this could have been 4 or 5 by halftime, as opposed to going in at the break with Omonia in the lead. But everything about Manchester United was about getting the ball to Ronaldo. And then once that, as Stevie Riley points out, once that first chance doesn't go in, things just seem to get more and more tense in that regard. Not that Manchester United ever lost grasp of the game, but it just says he seemed to get more tense in front of goal, which is really odd to be saying about somebody who scored the kind of goals that he has. But such is his form right now, that it's going to take one that just hits him in the knee and goes in, because right now it's just not coming together for him.
It's only one club goal this season, and that was a penalty against Sheriff. Now, Frank, you're a man who's never short of confidence. The same is usually said about Cristiano Ronaldo. Are we seeing a bit of a crisis of confidence for the player right now?
I have to say yes. I mean, and it's understandable. He didn't score a lot. It never happened in his life. Not scoring that much of goals, and of course it's getting, it's like in life, you know, when you want something too much, you get stressed and crazy, and in fact you don't get it. It's like when you avoid something because you think of it so much that it happens. So I think you really have to be in a frame of mind where, and he knows exactly where, he knows that he's going to score, but he's not looking for it. It's how it happens. And his confidence was growing like that because he knew that at some point he would score a goal. Now he wants so much scoring a goal that he will never get it. So, yeah, it's a kind of a confidence crisis, I would say. But and he shows to the world that at the end of the day, he's human. He was, for me, an alien in the world of football. He just came back on Earth, and he has to get back into basics to go back to the space of rare people.
I mean, he's 37, Luis. Is it down to confidence, or is this the beginning of the end for Ronaldo?
It's not the end. It's just that it will happen when you are getting more years, and of course, experience allow you to do some kind of stuff. And I'm sure that when he's training in small games, he's the Cristiano Ronaldo we all know, that with that sharpness, with that in front of the goal, that being clinical, capitalize every single chance. But when you are in open game, and it's going to happen more and more often because Ten Hag is using him sometimes. And when you are at that age and you don't have the ability to play every single weekend, your body starts slowing down. And now he's got players around him, Rashford, Anthony, Sancho, players who just cruise. I mean, they are so fast, so quick. And then the comparison with him is even bigger because when he's near the box, he's always dangerous. You know, he's very good in the air, the tempo, the experience, the football knowledge. And when he's into the box, he's always going to be a threat. But when you are in open game, you know that you're going to suffer. And more is going to happen if he doesn't go more minutes. So at the end, it's a neutral thing. It's a privilege because he's going to go a special body physically, but it's still not the same like when he was 32. So it's something that Cristiano Ronaldo needs to adapt his game. Normally, when a player like him, a striker, start getting older, I don't like to say the word, but older, normally you start using him a little bit behind the line, leave a big, quick strike at the front, and then he can be, because of the experience and the talent that he's got, this ability to help a link. But Cristiano Ronaldo is a number 9 at the moment. He cannot play in different places because of those long ranges. And well, probably we're going to see Cristiano Ronaldo happen this more often because that is frustrating him a little bit. Having the chances, not scoring goals, not having minutes, and he's a winner. That mentality is never going to change.
Would he be okay with that then, Luis, adapting his game to suit his capabilities right now at this age?
No, it's not easy. It's not easy. I think all the players have been through that moment, and you need to understand you have to adapt. And the biggest adaptation that you have is in your head. Try to understand that you got an age, and it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Football doesn't have memory. It's what you can do on these days. And he's got a lot to show, a lot to give to Manchester United, but he's not going to be what he really wants or what he thinks that he can bring, because definitely he's in a different role at the moment. He needs to understand that the minutes that he's going to feel, what he can bring on the table, who he can bring for this Manchester United, and that he can be a fantastic mentor in the next coming years, maybe 1 or 2 more years, to the players that he has around them. Rashford, Martial, Anthony, players who really need a player like him with all such an experience from good and bad moments, have a player like him next to him. He should be doing that. I'm sure that he's doing it because he's been a leader for many, many years, and now he needs to adapt to this situation and maybe don't be frustrated every single time there is on the goal. You miss a chance, it's okay to miss a chance. Everybody can miss it. But if you continue thinking about, and we've seen it today, shouting in the air, trying to show that frustration to everybody, at the end, that's something that he got into your head, and probably you're not going to be ready to make the right decision in the next one. So it's something that he needs to adapt, and probably he will do. But at the moment, he's not dealing with it very well.
Here's the issue with that, to Luis's point, and we've all been there. When you come into the end of your career, mentally, you don't feel that much different. Mentally, you still feel you can do it. You still feel you're that player that you once were, and it just takes a little bit of tweaking. Physically is a totally different thing, and we all go through that period where it's a tough admission to make. And now, for us on the outside, looking at Ronaldo, recognizing how incredible a talent he was for so long, the goals that he scored, now seeing Father Time finally catching up with him at 37 years old, when Father Time caught up with most of us early in our 30s, now finally it's happening to him. You're seeing him kind of going through that mental frustrations that we recognise coming to the latter years of our own careers, and it's tough. It's tough for him. It's tough for us in recognising how much he meant to this game, and that as you put it, Kate, this may very well be the beginning of the end. But at the same time, and I know this is a discussion that we've been having, I don't think his frustrations or his struggles at all taints his legacy. Those numbers stand up and will stand up for all of time.
There have been no struggles for Arsenal of late. They were in action in the Europa League against Bodo Glimt. They came through that game 3-0. Goals from Nketiah, Holding and Vieira. Lovely assist from Gabriel Jesus on the third of those goals as well. Arsenal doing very well, top of Group A, top of the Premier League as well. 8 places and 11 points ahead of Liverpool, albeit having played a game more. A big game coming up this weekend on Sunday. It is Arsenal against Liverpool. Stevie Nicol, you've bet against Arsenal all season. Dare you do so again on Sunday?
Well, it didn't. I bet against them after one game. I got roped in by Mr. Thomas. So that's what happened. I mean, the fact is, coming into this game, Arsenal, no question, are favourites. You know, I'm a worried man. I'm trying to figure out how that Liverpool's defence is going to stop Martinelli on one side, Saka on the other. And if the two of them are flying, then that means Jesus is going to be getting on the end of things and creating problems. So that, when I think of this game coming up, that's the one and only thing I think about. Because I still think Liverpool will score goals. The problem is, I think they'll let in more than they'll score. So really, that front three is, for me, what it's all about for Arsenal. You know exactly what you're going to get from Partey and Saka and Odegaard. You know, we know exactly what we're getting from Arsenal pretty much around the field. And that's to their advantage. Because right now, we don't know what we're getting from Liverpool. We just don't. So, yeah, I'm a little bit of a worried man coming into this game.
Yeah, well, we did see a formation change against Rangers, Luis. Klopp even spoke about it, explained his decision as well. We saw 4 out-and-out attackers in that game, and it seemed to pay off, this switch-up that he made in that match. Do you think he's going to do that against Arsenal in this next game?
Well, actually, I would love to know it, Kay, but it's difficult to see what Jürgen is going to manage. It's a totally different game. He knew that against Rangers, he will find in front a team that is going to be waiting at the back, trying to pick up and trying to make good transitions in attack. And that's something that he's not going to find against Arsenal. It's a totally different approach to this game that I think it suits better, to be honest. Of course, the concern is there because they have been conceding many chances at the back, because the team hasn't been clinical up front, and there are concerns about the intensity, where to play, where the Liverpool is pressing or not. But I think that the way the Arsenal plays, trying to build up from the back, trying to bring a lot of players to one side, I think it suits better to Liverpool on the way to play normally, not the way they play against Rangers. So I expect a very open game. Of course, Arsenal can win the game. But I think that for Liverpool, in the moment that they are playing against a team that is going to be open, that is going to be trying to dominate the game with the ball, it could be better for pressing, to try to regain the ball quicker in the other side. And then Liverpool that we've seen, and I think it will be important for Liverpool if they can manage to get a good result for the confidence of their players and what is going to be the rest of the season.
Just talking, though, about the fact that they've not won on the road all season. Mm-hmm. So then you look, they have to go to the Emirates, where Arsenal are riding high on confidence right now. What suggests that they can change that going there?
Not an awful lot. And I think Stevie hit the nail on the head. You know exactly what you're getting out of an Arsenal team who responded so fantastically well to losing against Manchester United. I will differ with Stevie in that. You kind of know exactly what you're getting from Liverpool, especially defensively. It's not that we don't know. We know. And it's not good. And that's the unfortunate thing. I made the point in the Liverpool draw with Brighton, and in the third goal, Liverpool dropped off to five yards above their own half line before they started pressing, which I don't think we've seen Liverpool do since Jurgen Klopp has been in charge. Liverpool have always pressed very high up the park, put everybody under pressure, won the ball back, oftentimes in their own attacking third. And I think that's where they found their successes. Now, while you can tinker with your formations against Rangers and not pay too heavy of a price, I just wonder if that's with a view to having that extra attacker, having that extra body in pressing higher up the park. That's the only way it makes sense, because you can, with the greatest of respect to Glasgow Rangers, I think this is just a little too far for them. Liverpool could afford to put almost anybody out there and get a result. But I would like to see them go back to what they did so well. Press high up the park. A lot has been made of the exit of Sadio Mane. But if you're pressing high up the park, all you need is, you need that spark, you need the personnel. I'm hoping that that's a sign of what's to come.
Well, let's talk about one of their attacking players, Darwin Nunez. It's fair to say he has had an up and down season so far. Recently, he's spoken out about how things have been going. He said the truth is that, honestly, in the team talks that he gives, he's speaking about Jurgen Klopp, I don't understand anything. I ask my teammates afterwards to find out what he said. Luis, did you speak English when you joined Liverpool?
No, I didn't. But for me, it was easier because Rafa Benitez spoke Spanish, so we can deal with that a little bit better. We were a lot of Spanish players into the dressing room. But I totally understand, because sometimes it's difficult when you arrive to a different country, and much more in Liverpool, where, well, not because of Jurgen, but because of the accent, it's a little bit tricky, that Scouse accent. But I think that it's not only about what they are asking for Darwin and he doesn't understand. It's about the adaptation of the Premier League, adaptation to a style of play that is totally different. And that combination with that eager, that hunger to show that he's a good player who can cope with everything, I think what is making that feeling of frustration of Darwin Nunez that brings him to bad decisions, to bad behavior sometimes, and it could drive him to an injury, because this kind of moment. He already done the two of them, bad decisions into the game, bad behavior into the game, and hopefully we don't see any injuries. But of course, it's not the best moment for him. He needs to continue working on that. He's doing it. And we'll see a good Darwin Nunez in the coming months, because definitely he's got the ability and the talent.
Frank, what is that transition like when you're coming into a top club like this and having to adapt and learn the language while you're actually on the job, taking these team talks, going and performing on the pitch?
Well, it's an adventure for sure, and you have to be up for it. And we were at Chelsea 16 different nationalities, and it was very, very hard to understand each other. But I think football is a language as well, and you understand each other when you can talk a little bit and show the movements. And I think it shouldn't be too difficult to understand each other. I remember having a dinner with Roberto Di Matteo, being both unavailable to understand each other, but on the field, you know, feeling the same thing. So I don't think it's going to be an issue for Nunez or any other players who come over and try to understand Mr. Klopp, because I had heard it. I didn't speak Dutch. He was speaking English very well. I could understand a few things that he was saying, but it was clear. Just something about that game, please, if I can. I think it's a big test for me. In a neutral point of view, I want to see, it's a big test for the both teams, where I want to see the confirmation that Arsenal change comparing to last season, because they're going to play against a very big team. And for Liverpool, if they lose, they can consider that the Premier League is over, that even maybe the first four seats are over. And I'm really looking forward to watching that game, because something is going to be getting out of it, for sure.
Well, Stevie's already worried about that game, so we're not going to make him talk about that too much. We will stick with the Darwin Nunez topic, though, Stevie. When you're a manager, how difficult is it? Go on.
Can I just say, first of all, this not understanding the manager isn't just about people from outside the British Isles, you know. When I went to Liverpool, I couldn't understand a word Bob Paisley said. The day before I made my debut in the team meeting, where I found out, he was telling me what to do, and I hadn't a clue. And when the meeting was finished, I went to Joe Fagan. I said, Joe, what did he say? And Joe went, son. Just go and play. That was it.
So what are you saying, Stevie?
So I had no idea.
No, because I'm interested on your side of things, Stevie, because you've been a manager. How difficult is it to get those ideas across to players who aren't not speaking the same language as you?
Listen, the game of football, it doesn't matter where you come from or what language you speak, it's the game of football. And if you've got a football brain and you've got ability, then it doesn't matter whether it's Scottish, Chinese, Welsh, or Geordie, because that's definitely a language on their own with Bob Paisley. I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting that Darwin Nunez said that he's nervous. Right. I think it's interesting that Darwin Nunez said he's nervous when he's in front of goal, because I think that's what's been shown, because he might talk about not understanding the coach and exactly what he needs to do, but he's been getting chances, and he's had plenty of chances when he's played. And so really, it's a case of being able to get rid of that, of those nerves and that anxiousness. Because when that happens, all of a sudden the picture becomes clear. You know, when you're nervous and you're anxious, and you're anxious, the picture you're looking at in front of goal is a little blurry. But when you calm down and when you're composed and when you're confident, the whole thing just opens up and slows down. And so you can then start picking out your spots where you want to put the ball. Because right now, for me, Nunez is hitting things. He's just using power. He's not having time to think about it and pick a spot. So that's what he has to do. Forget not understanding Klopp. Just find a way and figure a way of getting rid of the nerves and rid of the anxiousness and calm down. And when he does that, this guy will score goals.
You must have seen similar situations to this in the locker room, Shaka, where players are coming in and they're...
The first thing that comes to mind in hearing these Darwin Nunez comments is so much of this reminds me of Timo Werner's early days at Chelsea, where nobody questions his talent. Certainly coming in, nobody questioned how good a footballer they were. But all of a sudden, have a couple of uncertain games. And then I remember Timo Werner coming out and talking about his own lack of confidence and finding his feet in a new league, et cetera, et cetera. And it just never seemed to come together. And I can't help but feel the same about Darwin Nunez here. That, again, nobody questions how good a footballer he is, but just that step up and that uncertain start and him starting to question himself more so than people from within the game who know about those transitions are there to do. And if there's any parallel to that, obviously, if you're a Liverpool fan, that's a little bit concerning, because Timo Werner has never played his way out of that at Stamford Bridge. Has gone back to Germany and doing well. And now you just wonder. As Stevie says, as the boys well know, it takes some adjusting. Just go out there and play. You will get the support of those around you. You'll find your rhythm. But I am never that thrilled to hear players coming out and questioning themselves in this manner.
You know, Frank was talking earlier about Ronaldo being, you know, he's trying too hard. And I've got to think that the fact that Nunez got himself a 3-match ban has knocked him back confidence-wise, as far as... I think he now feels that he has to repay for being so stupid. Mm. And that's making him even more nervous and more anxious. I think there's no question that 3-match ban, he's now running around thinking, I need to make up for that. And as we saw, and as Frank said with Ronaldo, the harder you try, sometimes the harder it gets.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Speaking about things getting hard, in the Bundesliga, Gerardo Seoane has been sacked as coach of Bayer Leverkusen, and Xabi Alonso has been appointed boss there. So it's going to be interesting to see how he will fare. There's some pictures of him. This is his first senior role. He was in charge of Real Sociedad's B team. He's been out of work since May, and this is him now taking on this task. He's been appointed until 2024. Luis Garcia, you won big with this man. You were teammates. Now, some of you go on to be well-groomed pundits on shows like ESPN FC, and some of you always show there are some players, though, in all fairness, Luis, that show from day one that they are certainly going to go on to be a manager. And I feel as though Xabi Alonso has always had that vibe about him.
Yes, Kay, and he had me running the other day when we played the Legends game. He was just making us, let's do a triangle in the middle, let's do a triangle. As we're looking at him, I say, but this is a Legends game. We are not doing a triangle. We don't run anymore. So that's the anger that he, the ego that he's got right now to become a manager. He's as soon as he finished his career, he was focused on becoming a manager. He's been doing the right steps. He managed in Real Madrid Academy. Then he went to Real Sociedad in the second team, and he was waiting. I had the chance of talking to him when we went in Liverpool last week, and he was waiting for something, a project that he will find attractive to make the next step. He knows that it's very important that his next step is gonna be the right one, where he can enjoy, he can work, he can learn, he can make mistakes and also get it right, but definitely something that he was attracted to. And well, I think that this is a fantastic challenge for him. It's a team that needs to be worked, that needs to be drilled well done, and I think Xabi and his knowledge of the game is gonna do well. And well, we'll see very soon the transformation of this team that is second bottom in the Bundesliga, but with a lot of talent in the team, young players who are expecting the best from this Xavi. And I think it's the right call for him to go there. Fantastic connection between him knowing very well the Bundesliga after being played there for many years, and then the knowledge of arriving to a new club. So I just see good things happening from this one. We'll have to wait and see what is coming from Xavi's managing.
Stevie, just to make sure you understand this next part, I'm not asking you about the grooming. I'm asking you about the managerial side of things. Have you got any advice for him?
Do you know what? Just do what you think's right. You know, if you go on and start trying to do things that other people tell you, you know what? Follow your own nose. You know, sometimes the best way forward is to make a mistake. Now, listen, as long as it's not horrendous, then it's acceptable. Yeah, I think you follow your nose, because at the end of the day, if you succeed, then it's great. But if you fail, don't fail because you haven't done it your way. Absolutely do it your own way.
Don't forget, you can catch every single Bundesliga game on ESPN Plus. You'll be able to see how Bayer Leverkusen fare against Schalke. And there is a big one this weekend. It's Der Klassiker. It's Borussia Dortmund against Bayern Munich. You can catch coverage and all build up to that one from 12 Eastern. Just looking back on the Champions League in Group C, where Barcelona's 1-0 loss to Inter did them no favours, as Feta say, nor did the referee either. They sit third right now, and it is a must-win match in their next Champions League game against Inter next week. Luis Garcia is still with us. Luis, what did you make of their performance, and are you worried about them in the Champions League?
Yes, of course. Of course I am, because we were all expecting to Barcelona to continue doing well. They've done amazing in La Liga. They are on the top of the league and they are convincing, showing that the strength that they go in every single line, you are capitalizing it. But it's true that with the injuries of Jules Koundé, of Araujo, very important players at the back, there was a little bit of concern. There were two changes with Eric Garcia and Christiansen at the bar, Sergio Roberto as a fullback, and Alonso, who actually I think that didn't have the best game. He's struggling that left side. Dembele was again the main threat, with Rafinha also struggling to create chances. And once again, Lewandowski not finding the net. And they found a very good Inter, knowing that they have to be very compact, very disciplined. They never lost the composure, knowing that if they allow Barcelona to come, they will have space at the back, and they did so well. They scored that goal and stay at the back. And after we've seen Xavi complaining about the situation of the handball, yeah, a lot of talks about it. A big problem for Barcelona, because now they have to win the next two games if they want to think about going to the knockout stages.
I just want to talk a little bit about Dembele. There's been a lot of talk about him in the Spanish press. He lost the ball 38 times. Although he touched the ball 59 times more than Gavi. So obviously you can see this a few ways. It's like, get the ball to Dembele, but it wasn't the best game for Dembele, was it, Luis?
Yeah, it wasn't the best game because he was trying. I think Inter, he was always ready to cover that left side, trying to bring to players that were helping Inter the Milan. They were doing very well because they knew about the potential of Dembele when he's on the run. But of course, when people see that he was missing, he made so many crosses, he made tried many shoots. And of course, when you're trying to create, then it's always easier to break down the game and stop the play, because it's easy just to touch it. When you have to create, there is a lot more difficulties. And it's what, if you have a look, once again, Barcelona was trying to find him every single time. That's why he touches so many times. And when you try to put the ball in between the lines, where 6-7 players of Inter de Milan trying to stop you, is not always going to be easy to find Lewandowski in this occasion, or sometimes Rafinha arriving from second post. So even though that it wasn't the best game of Dembele, I think he doesn't have to do anything that he lost so many times, because at the end, if you're going to compare it with Busquets, that is trying to play easy to one side, the other side, or as a centre-back, that they try to play with the players they are in front, it's totally different. So, yeah, I understand that people is not happy because of the game, because of the whole game overall, but Dembele definitely tried his best, even though they couldn't find the way of finding Lewandowski in this occasion.
All right, then. So it's a big week for Barcelona coming up. Obviously, they've got Sunday's game against Celta, but then next week they face Inter again in the Champions League, with the way things are looking for them in their group. And then it's El Clasico at Real Madrid just a few days later. Which game is more important for them, Luis, Inter or Real Madrid?
What a question that is. I guess that the first one, what we got first one, Inter de Milan, I guess. I think it's very important that they're trying to find that balance, because you cannot think about what is going to happen the week after, when you have such an important game in midweek. So I guess that Inter de Milan, the first one. Actually, Celta de Vigo, that is going to be the first one, is the most important, because for them, getting another 3 points is going to give them that momentum that they are looking forward to, that consistency, that confidence to arrive to Inter and with guarantees that you can get a good result. And after, we'll think about what they have to do against Real Madrid. That definitely is going to be totally a different approach. But very important what you got in front. And it's true that sometimes it's a cliche. Yeah, the most important games is the first one that you have in front of you. But it's for real, because you can build on the confidence, you can build on the trust of your supporters, what is going to happen in the second and the third. So Celta Vigo will be the most important, and Inter right after.
It sounds like you've been with Diego Simeone for tapas, Luis. The next game's the most important. We're not looking ahead after that one. What about you, Shaka? Inter or Real Madrid, which is more important?
I'll copy Luis's cliche and say the next Celta Vigo is the most... Between Inter and Real Madrid, I have to believe that Inter is the more important right now, simply because you lose that and you're outside of qualifying for the Champions League, knockout stages, given everything that Barcelona have invested and the levers they've pulled to pull this squad together. But more so, I think the dent it does to your confidence, to your psychology in going into that to that Real Madrid game, I'm not sure how you get yourself up for it. On the other side of that same coin, a good performance, a good result against Inter Milan takes you into that Real Madrid game in so much better form, in so much better spirit and a psychology around it, that there's a lot hinging on that Inter game, a lot more in terms of how you go into that Real Madrid game. So it's a big 90 minutes. It's or to Lewis's point, it's a big 180 minutes to come before Real Madrid.
Gosh.
Yeah. You know, footballers love a cliche.
It's a game of two halves. These are Group B standings. Atleti, another La Liga side who are having, let's say, a worse time in the Champions League right now. As you can see, they are bottom of their group, and it looks as though it is going to be another underwhelming European adventure for Diego Simeone's men. Luis, how much trouble are they in the Champions League?
Big trouble, because definitely they cannot find, but in Champions League and in La Liga, they cannot find the rhythm, they cannot find the basics of this Atletico in Madrid. They are trying to bring now, because they recovered the two centre-backs, Xavi and Jimenez. They look that they were going to be more solid at the back, and then they found that it wasn't enough. A lot of problems against Bruges, leaving this defense with Jugla and so on, scoring goals quite easily in between the lines. And up front, with Morata not finding the net, he was very important in the previous two games, but for the national team and also for Atletico in Madrid. And he has the first opportunity, 1v1 against the keeper, you miss it, and then the rest of the game goes like that with a penalty missed by Griezmann. So at the end, it's about how can this Atletico Madrid find the momentum, find 3-4 games of getting the results. Even that they don't have to play the most dazzling game, they have to, yes, win the game. 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, and then start building that confidence that I think that is lacking at the moment in this Atletico in Madrid. And, well, we don't know if they're going to recover on time to probably continue playing in the Champions League.
Well, the tensions will return to La Liga this weekend. We're just going to take a look at the bottom half of the table in La Liga. Sevilla in 17th spot. Julen Lopetegui sacked after a dismal start to the season as Sevilla coach. Jorge Sampaoli reappointed. He's back again at Sevilla. But in terms of Lopetegui, there was an inevitability about this, wasn't there, Luis? I think we all saw this coming.
Yeah, it was about time. And I think that is good for everybody, because you could see that Lopetegui was suffering. He couldn't find a way of making, because of what you see, the 11s that he was using every single week in and week out, changing so much, using Disco in one place, changing Lamela, the players at the back, suddenly too. He started very bad because losing of the two centre-backs. There's a lot of talks about it, and he was playing with two centre-backs that they were 20 years old. That's something that proves that this team wasn't ready to cope with everything that they were going to face this season. Champions League, La Liga. In La Liga, they have to be at the top, because they've been a team that they ended up in the top four last year. So there were so many things happening. And then what we thought, they couldn't find the rhythm. They couldn't find the consistency. Players injured, and not getting the fullbacks, the centre back that they were waiting. So Lopetegui was suffering so much. So at the moment, I think it was the best way, that put go on the side, trying to find a different manager, trying to refresh a little bit for the players. Also, they're trying to change their mentality. Now every single player is going to bring 120%, because it's a new manager. So they start from scratch. Everybody's got the same opportunity. So he's going to change a little bit. And this team is full of talent. They have so much talent, from the front to the back. And The only thing is that they couldn't find their way back to where they were last season. So it's a pity, but well, that continues. I'm sure that Lopetegui will find soon another team and they will do well. But this in this Sevilla, I think, was a moment to finish it. And well, it was Monchi the one who decided.
So Jorge Sampaoli back at Sevilla, and Sevilla will be in action this weekend. You can catch every single La Liga game on ESPN+. It will be Sevilla against Athletic Club, who are doing very well right now. So that's going to be an interesting game to watch.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ah, Shaka's power rankings. Take it away, my man.
Freiburg. Freiburg, I believe, are third in the Bundesliga, but they've won their last five. They're in the 10th. Benfica, top in Portugal, still going very well in Champions League. Lorient, who are a big surprise in France. Real Madrid, I didn't do these for quite some time, so they've dropped considerably given their draw in the league on the weekend. But more to the point, what you see elsewhere, Udinese, Atalanta. Arsenal are only in at fourth, though they're top of the Premier League, but playing in the Europa League has cost them. PSG, despite dropping points themselves against Benfica. City are second. It was interesting between the top two. City and Napoli, not a lot to give between those two. Both of them have played 8 league games. Both have dropped 4 points. I've given Napoli the edge just because they've scored 2 goals more in the Champions League than Manchester City. Both of them perfect there as well.
Stevie and Frank are back with us. Luis, I don't know if you've actually been, Luis, on Shaka's power ranking segment before. We were wondering if there was a look of confusion.
I think it was a couple of weeks, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Are you happy with the power rankings?
Actually, it's doing well. I'm happy. I'm surprised of Manchester City, but I'm surprised that it's new on the top five. But it's fine, Shaka. It's all right.
You can tell he's quite a new...
I think he knows what he's talking about, that's all, okay?
You can tell he's like a new addition to checking out your power ranking because he's been far too nice to you. Stevie?
Well, Luis probably can't figure out what Shaq is talking about. He's got Arsenal in fourth, but haven't dropped any points, and he's got Napoli, who's given them the edge, although they've dropped points. It's like...
Arsenal dropped 3 points.
I'm not surprised Luis has no idea what's going on.
Arsenal have dropped points? What do you mean?
Hang on a minute.
When was the last time you dropped points?
Apparently... Aye.
When was the last... I should know whether they've dropped points or no, by the way. I'm watching them very closely, as you might imagine.
Frank...
Well, you know, I'm going to back up Shaka. It's such a hard, you know, task that you asked him to do because you have so many good clubs and so many names with history, and it's hard to pick up only 10 clubs. And I know I'm going to spray that big news that Lorient is on the Shaka ranking because nobody expected to see Lorient once in a lifetime, you know. And so I'm going to say to all my friends in Brittany that Lorient is part of the Shaka ranking. I like the fact that Shaka put Napoli first because, in fact, you know, everybody could expect to see Manchester City. And I like the fact that because Napoli is surprising everybody, they have the spot of the first position, and I love it. Well done, Xhaka. I'm with you, my man. Don't give up.
I think it's time to give up.
2 out of 3 ain't bad, Xhaka.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I'm very happy with that. I think I should quit while I'm ahead, Kay.
We will quit while he's ahead, but don't go
away. Let's not invite TV back. Let's not invite TV back for the Power Rackers.
We are inviting him back for extra time.
What kind of recommendation is that? What kind of recommendation is that from Frank? I'm with you, but don't give up. So basically, it's nonsense, but he's with you.
Keep going. Yeah, believe in yourself.
if that's you backing him up, Frank, I'd hate if you were against him.
I thought it was just a nice thing to say to Xhaka because you were quite harsh to him. So I want to be with Xhaka. That's it.
It's okay. I can't understand what Stevie's saying anyway. I was going to ask Kay what Stevie said. It's all right.
Was that quote from Darwin Nunez, are you?
Yeah. What did he say?
The truth is that, honestly, I don't understand anything. All right, extra time is coming up. Stevie will be back with us for that. So will Luis Garcia and so will Xhaka. We will be answering your tweets, so stick around for that. And always check it out on YouTube. You can subscribe when you're there and check out the playlist of Extra Time every day.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
League Cup format for 2023 has been announced, a 47-team tournament. The top two from each group will advance to the knockout stage. MLS and Liga MX champions will receive automatic bid to the round of 32. Penalty shootout to decide the winner if it's going to be tied after 90 minutes. Winner of shootout will earn an additional point. And the top three teams will qualify for the CONCACAF Champions League. They'll be talking about this on the latest edition of Football Americas, the award-winning Football Americas.
Oh, streaming twice a weekly. Title.
It absolutely deserves it too. Twice a week, ESPN Plus, make sure to always catch Seb and Herc. Always do a really good job putting this show together. Very passionate as well. Lots of debate, if that's what you're looking for.
That it is.
We've got lots of questions to answer on Extra Time coming
up. Which you're quite excited about.
I'm very excited about it. Stick around.
And I'm worried about.
I'm not. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time.
What am I hearing about you and a bear?
Oh, there was a bear. No, not just a bear. A mother bear and two baby bears in our garden today when we woke up in our front garden. And the two baby bears were up in the tree and the mother bear was just there.
What kind of...
You don't get bears in Boston.
Jungle you living in. And what? Yeah. Well, I don't have bears in my garden.
This is outside our house this morning.
So where are the baby bears?
Look there, 1, 2.
I don't know what to say, Kay.
Yeah, that's,
they need to move.
That's regular for this time of year.
No, let me tell you something. A bear comes in my garden and there's two baby bears climbing a tree. I'm moving. I didn't mean playing that.
I've got two of my own baby bears at home, and I think they're harder work than those two baby bears outside in the tree. I don't know which is more scary.
I tried to move on from them bears too, but...
But you had more than two baby bears.
They kept finding me.
We do have Luis Garcia and Stevie Nichol with us. Stevie, this is the first time I've seen your new look.
That's a weird way to put it.
No, because when you came outside, Stevie, it wasn't just a beard. I thought you'd had your ears pierced. You look like you've got earrings there. Did you confirm whether you got your ears pierced in this time off?
No, no, he hasn't. The world isn't ready for that.
That's not happening. No ear piercings, no tattoos.
Louise, do you like, let's be honest, Louise can definitely comment on style in this show.
Yeah, okay.
He's a very stylish man.
I'll agree with that.
One of our most stylish pundits. Steve, what do you think of Stevie's beard, Louise?
Be honest.
But it's looking looking good. When I saw it the first time, it's looking good. But I guess it's because you cannot do it because of your arm, right? Is that right? Or is that the new style?
Let me tell.
I'm going to try tomorrow. Do it. I'm going to use my right hand.
See,
guys. If I slip my throat, it's nice knowing you all.
For Louise to say that beard is looking all right, I'm reconsidering his saying my Paul Rankins were all right.
No, Louise is just a really nice
if
guy.
If my Paul Rankins is like Stevie's beard, I need to
it's
redo
looking good.
No.
Stevie, beware, Stevie, of what
rugged
number blade?
you look like that being. You look like that being Keir's yard.
Yeah. All right, Louise. First question. As a striker, what do you do when you're having the bad dry spell of goal scoring? Ronaldo might want to hear some advice, Louise.
No. We cannot give you advice to Cristiano Ronaldo. We are talking about one of the top scorers in the history of football. But definitely, I'm sure it is working on what the guys has mentioned before. Try to be calm sometimes, not rush the things. You get frustrated when you miss chances. And if you are thinking about what I just missed, probably you're going to miss the next one. You have to try to focus and clear your head when you are in front of the box. And at the moment, Cristiano, because of the whole situation of the team, not playing, being frustrated, all the pressure around about why is not Cristiano Ronaldo delivering what he's been delivering for over 15 years, I think that frustrates him because he's got that winner mentality and he wants to, I think not just the pressure of the manager, of the crowd, the supporters and teammates, it's his own pressure. He puts so much pressure on himself for so many years that at the moment he doesn't know how to deal with these moments of I cannot score a goal. And sometimes it's good just to relax. I miss it, everybody can miss a chance. But if you are thinking about I missed the one before, I need to score this one, the frustration is gonna eat you. Well, you're not gonna get out of that loop.
You know, the other thing, in all honesty, and this happens more times than not, whenever you're one goal away from breaking a record or setting some new mark, it was 700 goals for Ronaldo, time and time again, and this is not unique to Ronaldo at all, you find strikers somehow, it just takes that time. I remember well when Ian Wright was on the verge of breaking Arsenal's goal scoring record. He went through this lean spell where he just couldn't get the ball into the back of the net, and then finally it came and then he just couldn't stop scoring. And there are more stories like that that I think you recognize, because once it's done, you know, people start talking about the records and not necessarily the four or five games that, you know, you struggled in leading up to that record. So it's part and parcel of the game. It's just one of those things.
Maybe he just needs a goalkeeper's advice, and then in his follow-up to his autobiography, your name will be in.
Well,
saying that you changed everything for him.
Well, as you know, Kia, I set Ronaldo on his path to stardom, having kindly let in his first Manchester United goal. I set him on his path.
To help with his confidence.
Exactly. He needed that. He needed that. I recognized that. And I stepped up. Now I can do the same orbit in a slightly different capacity, but I'm a giving person.
Such a giving, generous person, Chaka.
Well, glad you noticed. I'm glad you noticed, Kay.
Stevie, with United winning a hard-fought game in Nicosia against a club whose crest is unrecognised by Google, can the boys share similar experiences of playing against unheralded opposition from their careers? Pre-season is included.
Oh.
I've got to tell you, we've played against... We went to Scandinavia quite a lot. We played second division teams in Scandinavia. and I've never known them name. We were there. We were there for about 3 days, and I still couldn't tell you where we were. So there's more than one for me. I just put my kit on, went out and played. I wasn't bothered what the name was.
Still don't know.
Why is that a surprise?
No idea.
That doesn't surprise anybody.
Didn't they knit you a sweater there, Stevie? Oh, yeah.
Who do we play this morning?
No, that was in Oslo. I remember that. That was Oslo. I do remember that one.
All right, oh, fair enough. Does anything spring to mind for you, Louise, where you remember playing against a team that no one had heard of?
Yeah. Yeah, in pre-season it's true that sometimes it can happen. I remember also in Netherlands, we went to play there with Barcelona. It was one of my first pre-season shows with them. And I didn't know the teams. There were second division teams from there. Of course, I never heard about them back then. So yeah, also in Asia, the same. We play, I remember Marinos, but that was quite famous back then. But the other ones I couldn't remember or didn't know anything. So yeah, I guess that everybody in pre-season have played against someone that is not recognizable because they are second or third division. You are on the build-up of the season.
The only game that comes to mind, and this is not pre-season, but kind of pre-season, we played Jokerit in the Intertoto Cup.
Oh, wow.
But this, well, as I say, it wasn't pre-season. We'd only started training 2 or 3 days. And Harry, this is when I said West Ham, so this would have been the 99-2000 season. Harry was just like, we're going to use this as our pre-season. So even though it was an official game, because we actually won the Intertoto Cup and went on to play Europa League football that season, it literally was 2 or 3 days after we first met up. And the thing that struck me, especially coming from the Caribbean, is it's that far north that the sun is up 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
So we had to, in the hotel room, you have those heavy blackout blinds. Otherwise, you know, you can't fall asleep. That was kind of surreal to me, as I say, coming from Trinidad and Tobago to experience that.
That's quite the experience.
It was.
Sunshine all day. Just like when Stevie Nichols on the show. For Louise, who do you think Jurgen Klopp will start against Arsenal? Nunez or Firmino?
Oh, that's a tough call. But I think he's going to start with Nunez. I think it's very important he continues giving that minutes and confidence to the player. I love Firmino, and if he starts, I'm more than happy because he gives something different to the team. But if he wants to change maybe the system in it, because he works at the weekend and at the midweek and he want to bring more players up front with Diogo Jota, we could even see Darwin Nunez and Firmino play in the same team. But I think it's important for Darwin to play more games and start building up his confidence.
Next question, Shaka. Would you trash talk players or use mind games during set plays or penalties? And did they work?
I never saw the point of it. I think once you get to that level of the game, what can you do to put? You're talking some of the best players in the world. And then if we're talking set pieces and penalty kicks, you're playing against some of the best players in the world. And then the players taking it are the best at doing exactly that. So I didn't see the point of making, you know, trying to play some kind of a mind game. It's tough enough as it is.
Stevie, were you a trash talker?
No, absolutely not. I'm with Shaka. Too busy getting the job done, making sure, and all you try and do is any chance you get, you dominate them physically. But as far as trash talking, no, what a nonsense. Anybody who's affected by trash talking wouldn't be playing at that level, as Shaka says. You just wouldn't be. You know, the trash talking's all in the lower leagues and non-league football and pub football. It's not at the highest level. No.
We just saw a very quizzical look from Louise then. I feel as though maybe you were a trash talker or you liked mind games, Louise, when you were listening to Stevie there.
Yeah, mind games, yes. My game, yeah. But I was expecting Stevie to be, trash talker, one of those that comes to you and start playing, because I've seen a few footage from him going 50-50 like proper. And I would have expected that, because back then I think that it was a lot of fights between talking and everything. Not anymore, but I enjoy my games when you are on the field. I used to like to laugh when they got angry and have a look at them like, when they come to me and try to tackle me or going to hurt me and they couldn't get me, stood up and laughed a little bit to try to get them out of their focus and maybe try to find a yellow card for them.
A baby-faced assassin.
Actually, Luis, you reminded me. Okay, we talk about trash talking. We played Tottenham at White Hart Lane one day, and Ronnie Whelan and Steve McMahon were playing in the middle of the park. And by the end of the game, Gazza was crying. He was in tears because they were winding him up so much. Just like Luis was saying, you know, laughing at him and just doing all kinds of stuff and, as I said, winding him up. And, you know, Gazza, at the end of the day, his wires are not wired properly. And so he took the bait, and by the end of the game, so frustrated, he was in tears. He was actually crying, running around. And, of course, Macca and Ronnie were laughing their head off.
He did have a little story in the end anyway. The next question, I've been waiting to ask this one. So I don't know if you saw this, but there's a player in League Two in England who got injured playing on his Xbox. Mm. So we've been asked a question. After the player in League Two hurt his hip while playing Xbox, what's the strangest injury story you've ever witnessed? So it can be one that you've been involved with or one that you've known of around you.
The only one I can recall, and this was quite famous back in the day, I think it was Dave Besson, I'm pretty sure it was Dave Besson, former goalkeeper, opened one of his cupboards, a bottle of something fell off, and he tried to control it as it fell. And it broke a bone in his foot or something of the sort like that.
No
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Try to control it.
Yeah, you try. Yeah. So, well, you should know.
That's
Kanye
Thaddeus. Shaka, that's Kanye Thaddeus. It's true. It was for the, I think, preparation for World Cup. That's Kanye Thaddeus. He broke his tendon of the right toe on his right foot.
I'm sure it happened to Dave Besson as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
it was
sure
Santiago Kanye Thaddeus
as well.
Couldn't go to the. To the World Cup.
Good Lord.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one. I was remember when I saw that news. I remember that because it's quite strange to see a goalkeeper trying to control and got his tendon and he couldn't go to the World Cup.
Mm.
Wow. So that's the one that sticks out for you then, Luis.
I remember that one.
I got one for you.
It happened but I was warming up when I was in the second team of Barcelona. And at the mini study, they have like pits on the side for the police and cameras. And I was warming up, and as I'm walking back, I receive a ball, and suddenly I went down. It was like meter and a half or something like that, just before the game. And I received a big knock on the right side. It was the warm up, so I tried to play, but after 5 minutes, I couldn't continue. I have to leave the game, and I stayed out of the game for 3-4 weeks. Because of that, and after they changed it and everything, because it was quite dangerous, but it wasn't with the Xbox, it was just before the proper game.
I bet the lads let that one go by quietly.
Hey, Kay, Bruce Grobbelaar, he didn't actually miss a game, but he missed almost a week's training. So what he did was, he was on a night out, and regardless of who you are, if you say to Bruce, I'm the best at this and nobody else can do it, he'll challenge you. So there was a bouncer in this club and his party piece was standing straight up and falling straight forward like that. And just as he got to the ground, he'd stick his hands out and stop himself. And so the bouncer said to Bruce went, well, I can do that. And the bouncer went, go on then. Now, the problem for Bruce was that he had rather more than his fair share of some drinky poos. And so he stood up, fell straight down, and forgot he put his hands out. Busted his chin. He had to go to the hospital. He had about 6 stitches in his chin. So if you ever see Grobbelaar, you'll see a little scar under there. That's what he did. He missed a week's training. He played in the game on the Saturday, but straight down, bye.
Oh, God.
So maybe goalkeeper injuries? I think we've established that.
Yeah, let's not comment on that.
It is. That's all we've got time for now. And we'll see what Stevie looks like next time we see him, if he is managing to take off the
beard. Don't shave, Stevie. Keep it going.
And if
keep
he returns going. With the man bag and the PSDs.
Yeah, keep it going. Keep it going, Stevie.
Thanks so much for being with us. Thanks for sending in your tweets. Make sure to join us again tomorrow.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.